Harper Audio presents Ladies of Liberty, written and read by Cokie Roberts. Introduction. This is the story, told as much as possible in their own words, of the influential women in the period between the inauguration of John Adams in 1797 and his son John Quincy Adams in 1825. It's not the story of everyday women in the late 18th and early 19th centuries. Many of them had much harder lives than the elite women who had the ears of the founding fathers. In this unsettled, still self-defining time, women were in the middle of everything, contributing to the culture as writers and educators, shaping the society as reformers and religious, expanding the nation as settlers and seekers. And though they possessed no official power, not only were women denied the right to vote, married women could not even own property. Their considerable political influence is evident in their own words and those of the men in their lives. The years from the presidency of John Adams to the election of his son are not as dramatic as the Revolutionary period, but in many ways they're more important. It's much easier to band together, as the Founding Fathers did, to fight against an outside enemy, than to hold together while differing philosophically and politically on ends as well as means on what kind of country would and should emerge from this American experiment. At various points over these years, fierce partisanship and regional jealousies threatened our nationhood when it was too young and fragile to withstand the blows easily. But even as the men were literally ready to kill each other, to fight duels over political arguments, the women continually tried to provide wise counsel and cool the passions. Washington women used the world of society, from formal receptions to casual card parties, to bring men together to effect political ends. In the fledgling federal city, everything was still evolving in terms of who played what role. In that fluid situation, the worlds of state and society overlapped so thoroughly that it was impossible to tell where one left off and the other began. Still, none of it was easy. Even for wealthy women who hired servants or, sadly, owned slaves, just getting through the day at the end of the 18th and beginning of the 19th century could be challenging. Death was everywhere. The losses these women suffered are almost overwhelming. Every illness, every pregnancy, and they were perennially pregnant, every journey held the prospect of disaster. Still, these ladies soldiered on with remarkable resiliency. Not only could married women not own property, the very clothes and jewelry on their bodies belonged to their husbands, and only property owners could vote. But even as the franchise spread to non-property-holding white men, women weren't on the political radar screen. The one exception? New Jersey, where unmarried women briefly could cast ballots, along with free blacks, until the powers that were decided they didn't like the way politicians were appealing to the women's vote, so passed a law revoking female franchise. New Jersey legislators took away free blacks' right to vote at the same time they disenfranchised women. The number of free blacks in the North kept growing during the years after the Revolutionary War, when states above the Mason-Dixon line passed laws abolishing slavery. In the South, too, the peculiar institution was dwindling until after 1793, when Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin, with the help of Catherine Littlefield Greene, but that's another story. With a free labor pool, the planting of short staple cotton became enormously profitable, leading to a giant leap in the numbers of slaves. Other inventions also affected the economy and the way families lived their lives. Almost all Americans, 90%, worked on farms in 1790. But that was changing rapidly. Sam Slater's water-powered textile mill opened in Pawtucket, Rhode Island in 1793, essentially starting the Industrial Revolution in this country. It wouldn't take long before men and women no longer worked together at home, manufacturing goods. Men went out to work. So did many single women. Married women, still burdened with onerous household duties, lost the help of the men and sometimes of their older daughters as well. These overworked Republican mothers also took on the task of raising virtuous citizens to rule the new republic.